In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for the godson of my cousin Angela Biava. I forgot to write down the name, but the Mass is being offered for this particular soul. The reading from the prophet Daniel. It's quite lengthy. Enjoy. In those days, there was a man who dwelt in Babylon, and his name was Joachim, and he took a wife whose name was Susanna, her the daughter of Helchias, a very beautiful woman, and one that feared God. For her parents, being just, had instructed their daughter according to the law of Moses. Now, Joachim was very rich and had an orchard near his house, and the Jews resorted to him because he was the utmost honorable of all of them. And there were two of the ancients of the people appointed judges that year, of whom the Lord said, "Iniquity came out of Babylon from the ancient judges that seemed to govern the people." These men frequented the house of Joachim, and all that had any matters of judgment came to them. And when the people departed away at noon, Susanna went and walked in her husband's orchard. And the old men saw her going every day and walking, and they were inflamed with lust towards her. And they perverted their own minds and turned away their eyes, that they might not look unto heaven nor remember just judgments. And it fell out that as they watched in a fit day, she went in on a time as yesterday, and they the day before, and two maids only, and it was desirous to wash herself in the orchard. For it was hot weather, and there was nobody there, but the two old men had hid themselves, and were looking, beholding her. And she said to her maids, "Bring me oil and washing balls, and shut the doors of the orchard, that I may wash myself." When the maids were gone forth, the two elders arose and ran to her, and said, "Behold, the doors of the orchard are shut, and nobody seeth us, and we are in love with thee. Wherefore, consent to us, and lie with us. But if thou wilt not, we will bear witness against thee that the young man was with thee, and therefore thou didst send him away thy maids from thee." Susanna sighed and said, "I am straitened on every side, for if I do this thing, it is to the death of me, and if I do not, I shall not escape your hands. But it is better for me to fall into your hands without doing it, rather than sin in the sight of the Lord." With that, Susanna cried out with a loud voice, and the elders also cried out against her, and one of them ran to the door of the orchard and opened it. So when the servants of the house heard the cry of the orchard, they rushed in by the back door to see what was the matter. But after the old men had spoken, the servants were greatly ashamed, for never had there been any such word said of Susanna. And on the next day, when the people were to come to Joachim, her husband, the two elders also came full of wicked device against Susanna to put her to death. And they said before the people, "Send to Susanna, daughter of Helchias, the wife of Joachim." And presently they sent, and she came with her parents and children and all her kindred. Therefore her friends and all her acquaintances wept. But the two elders, rising up in the midst of the people, laid their hands upon her head, and she, weeping, looked up to heaven, for her heart had confidence in the Lord. And the elders said, "As we walked in the orchard alone, this woman came in with two maids and shut the doors of the orchard and sent away the maids from her. Then a young man that was hid there came to her, and they lay with her. But we that were in a corner of the orchard, seeing this wickedness, ran up to them, and we saw them lie together, and them indeed we could not take, because he was stronger than us, and opening the doors, he leapt out. But having taken this woman, we asked who he was, this young man. But she would not tell us. Of this thing we are witnesses. The multitude believed them, and being elders and judges among the people, and they condemned her to death." Then Susanna cried out with a loud voice and said, "O eternal God, who knowest all things before they come to pass, thou knowest that they have borne false witness against me. And behold, I must die, whereas I have done none of these things which these men have maliciously forged against me." And the Lord heard her voice. When she was led out to be put to death, the Lord raised up the Holy Spirit of the young boy, whose name was Daniel. And he cried out with a loud voice, I am clear from the blood of this woman. Then all the people, turning themselves toward him, said, What meaneth this word that thou hast spoken? But he, standing in the midst of them, said, Are ye so foolish, ye children of Israel, that without examination or knowledge of the truth, you have condemned a daughter of Israel? Return to judgment, for they have borne false witness against her. So all the people returned again in haste. And Daniel said to them, Separate these two far from one another, and I will examine them. So when they were put asunder one from the other, he called one of them and said to him, O, thou art grown old in evil days. Now that are thy sins come out, which thou hast committed before, in judging unjust judgments, oppressing innocent, and letting the guilty go free, whereas the Lord saith, The innocent and the just thou shalt not kill. Now then, if thou sawest her, tell me under what tree thou sawest them conversing together. He said, Under a mastic tree. And Daniel said, Well hast thou lied against thine own head, for behold, the angel of God, having received the sentence of him, shall cut thee in two. And having put him aside, he commanded that the other should come. And he saith to him, O thou seed of Canaan, and not of Judah, beauty hath deceived thee, and lust hath perverted thy heart. Thus did you do to the daughters of Israel, and they for fear conversed with you. But a daughter of Judah would not abide your wickedness. Now therefore tell me, under what tree did thou take them conversing together? And he answered, Under a holm tree. And Daniel said to him, Well hast thou also lied against thine own head, for the angel of the Lord waiteth, and a sword to cut thee in two, and to destroy you. And with that all the assembly cried out with a loud voice, and they blessed God, who saveth him that trusteth in him. And they rose out against the two elders, for Daniel had convicted them of false witness by their own mouth. And they did to them as they had maliciously dealt against their neighbor, and they put them to death. And the innocent blood was saved that day. Thus concludes the lesson of the prophet Daniel. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, Jesus went to the Mount of Olivet, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him. Sitting down, he taught them, and the scribes and Pharisees bringing unto him a woman taken in adultery, and they set her in the midst, and said to him, Master, this woman was even now taken in adultery. Now Moses in the law commanded us to stone such a one. But what sayest thou? And they said to him, tempting him, that they might accuse him. But Jesus, bowing himself down, wrote with his finger in the ground. And when therefore they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again stooping down, he wrote on the ground. But they, hearing this, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. And Jesus alone remained, and the woman standing in their midst. Then Jesus, lifting up himself, said to her, Woman, where are they that accuse thee? Hath thou no man condemned thee? Who said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither will I condemn thee. Go now and sin no more. Thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. You may be seated. It's a lot of words. It's probably more words than I typically speak in a day already here. Thanks be to God. Well, aren't they great readings, though? Isn't this a great message for us? In fact, this is my favorite of all the masses that I celebrate the favorite of all the readings that I do all year long. In fact, when I was in Rome, I probably tell you this every single year, in the ordinary form of the Mass, it's the fifth Monday of the season of Lent. Here in the extraordinary form, it falls on the third Saturday of Lent, which is the stational Mass of the Church dedicated to Saint Susanna. which is possessed by the Americans. It's not a particularly beautiful church. You can go there. It's the American Church in Rome. I think it's probably not terribly attractive, probably because it is the titular church of the American Church. So it's not as beautiful as it otherwise could be. It's got some weirdness to it, but it is our church. So you can go visit it in Rome if you ever make it. Now, St. Susanna, in this way, I would always strive every single year to sign up the very first few minutes that the sign-up sheet was there for the stational masses, where you could sign up to do a particular ministry as lector, to serve as an acolyte, or even to celebrate the mass or deacon at those particular masses. Every year, I would choose to, even when I could acolyte, which is a much higher position and a much more worthy thing to do, I would always sign up every year to grab this reading first thing, because I love it so much. I love it so much. In fact, it wasn't until I entered into the seminary, my first year in the seminary, that I discovered that this reading even existed, because I never read that part of the book of Daniel before. So beautiful is it. In fact, it's burned in my memory because it was the first time that day. It was the 31st of March. See how good my memory is. 31st of March that I went there, and I was visited by Archbishop Michael Sheehan and Father De Palma on their first time to come and evaluate me to see if I'm doing well enough for the seminary. Most guys dread over that moment. I was so excited just to see my bishop, who loves me, and this good vocation director, who are all on my side, there to defend me so I could show them that I was in fact making progress toward the priesthood. That was the 31st of March that year. Yeah. So we have this beautiful reading here. And what's interesting about it, we can go through many things, and I probably shared with you many other things before. But this particular reading of Susanna was very important to the early church. Why is that? You see, the early church was a very persecuted church. The early church saw themselves on every side attacked. They saw themselves in every way calumniated, despised. They would tell stories about them. They said, oh, look at these people. They're ones who drink blood, eat flesh of men. They sacrifice human beings here among our midst. They're not good people, because they intentionally chose to misunderstand what happens at Mass, the holy sacrifice of Christ here, eating his body, drinking his blood. Then they would level calumnies against him, saying, hey, look, these are a people who are not good, worthy people among us. They are incestuous people. We see them conversing with this one and that one, and they call this one brother and this one sister, and brothers and sisters give themselves to one another in marriage and have children. They're not good people. These Christians, we must expel them. They didn't understand that we understand the fraternity of all those who believe in Christ. And so we call one another brother and sister in that way, though there is no blood relation between those whom we marry. The persecuted church was always called to account, always called to do those things which were despicable, to eat and drink those things which were offered to idols, to go and give themselves in ways. And in fact, if you look at the early martyrs of the church, the good virgin martyrs of the church, you find their story is almost identical, each one to the other. Is that each one, these poor young women, were assaulted, they were lusted after by many men, and they said, no, I just want to dedicate myself to the service of God and not to give myself to men. Many even saying, if this is a body which men will take, let it be destroyed rather than be defiled, for it belongs only to God, whom I've dedicated my very self to. And so in their wickedness and perversion, they sought to take that which belonged to God and to put to death innocent blood, exactly as Holy Susanna today. And so if you look through the catacombs of the ancient church down there in Rome and the beautiful ancient works from the very first centuries of the church, you'll see always that the image of St. Susanna was depicted. St. Susanna as one saying, so too as Susanna suffered and was accused and attacked in all sorts of diverse ways, so too will we be attacked and have been attacked. But just like Susanna, the reason why they depicted him is because they wanted her prayer to stand for their prayer as well. What did it say within the prayer? I'll read to you it again as soon as I find it. Then Susanna cried out with a loud voice and said, O eternal God, who knowest all things before they come to pass, thou knowest that they have borne false witness against me, and behold, I must die. whereas I have done nothing of which these men have maliciously forged against me. And the Lord heard her voice. In the very same way, we can see that the pairing of this passage from Susanna and that of the gospel of the woman caught in adultery, we see that they have the same common cause in that. We can think and we can wonder if it were not this daughter of Israel who indeed was guilty of the very thing which Susanna was not guilty of, if she thought in that moment the very same prayer, thought of the same prophecy of Daniel, which maybe she had heard from time to time proclaimed within the synagogues or preached when she was a young child, and thought that she herself would be worthy, would be one who would stand against the lusts of men as Susanna did, but here she finds herself within her life having fallen, not lived up to that. And if she wonders, well, Susanna cried out to God and she was heard, for she was innocent. Can I even begin to cry out to God, for I know that I am not innocent, so he will not hear my voice? And yet, what is the result? Even if she felt that she couldn't cry out to God, the Lord did hear the cry which she felt she could not make, answered, and he set her free. The word which goes on in our Lord there is a model for all confessors. All those who hear confessions, all those who seek to reconcile souls to God, you as penitents, I even as a penitent, is at the end of the confession when a soul has poured itself out before God, showing its most despicable parts. There, waiting the stones of those who would throw. The job of the good confessor is to say, look around you, dear soul. Is there anyone, any man who condemneth thee? Is there anyone who brings a charge against thee standing here? The penitent, unable to raise their eyes, says, no, no, Father, none but I. The good confessor, with compassion, looks down upon the penitent, raising that soul up from the mire in which she has caught herself in so many times, and maybe even now doesn't know whether they'll find themselves soon back within that place. Brings no charge against them, levies no heavy or onerous penance upon the penitent, says rather, go then, and sin no more, lest something worse should happen to thee. The only thing worse would be not the stoning of men, but rather the condemnation for all eternity to be separated from the love of the one who raised them up in that moment. So too, we take courage in the midst of whatever difficulty and maltreatment we receive at the hand of men, or even at the hand of our own selves, which are sufficient enough to condemn ourselves. That warring party within us that always wants to condemn us. And so souls take courage from Susanna, that whatever persecution or that is levied against you by men or even by your own self, that if you lay yourself before the Lord, cry out to him even though you are guilty. The Lord does not seek to condemn, but he seeks to raise the souls up, charging them only, don't fall into that trap again. Go a different way. But even should we, he is there ready to forgive the soul who returns back to him in penitence. Let us pray that we hold these truths, but also that those who are far from God this day, who don't think that they can raise their eyes to heaven and feel like they have been justly condemned, that they would return and find God. Find his mercy, which endures to the end of time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.